Evening. I guess I will start tonight by reading again the closing thought from today's sermon. There is a church that is Christ, and he purchased it with his blood. The road is narrow that leads to everlasting life, and few find it. Two of the three soils that appear good are not. Christ will build his church. Christ will consummate his relationship with his bride. We will persevere as we are being preserved. God is wise, perfect, trustworthy, and praiseworthy. So, it's time for questions. Comments, affirmations. Corey's in back, so somebody else has to raise their hand to start.
About Mr. Fitzpatrick.
So I was very affirmed today that we were reminded that it's Christ's church and the price that he paid for his church, and I think it helps keep me humble, and then even understanding the soils, and we don't know who they are, and we'll treat everyone like they're our good soil if they appear to be, and then in God's sovereignty, he alone knows their heart, and we can't be consumed with trying to figure that out, whether it didn't go the way we thought it was going to go, I guess. So I think it helped. Today's sermon helped be content with his sovereignty.
Great. Mr. Zood. And Cal, I would like you to share what you shared after service at some point.
So in the parable of the soils, while the plant is sprouting, is that of God. So, for example, someone gets radically saved, let's say, from drug addiction, and they radically change their life. They're not on drugs anymore. They sprout up. They appear to be saved, and a year later, we find out that that's not the case. They're clearly not saved. Was it the power of God of them sprouting and getting off this drug addiction, or was that just, you know, worldly power devil and not of God?
Yep. So a couple of things I want to say about what you said was, in your story, you said radically saved. Well, they weren't. Now, from our perspective, they were. Boom, man, look at that. No more drug addiction, coming to church, praising Jesus with their mouth, going up to Iowa City. So they weren't radically saved. Now, was that the power of God? Everything is in God's sovereignty, and everything has been decreed by God, so it was clearly God's plan. Them stopping, whatever it was, stopping the drug addiction, that wasn't by the power of God. That was by the decree of God, but it wasn't by the power of God. Many people have behavior modification. Many people change their lives, claiming Christ or not claiming Christ. We had a confession tonight of someone who said, hey, I've modified my behavior much. But when I really consider the condition of my heart, it's not because I love the Lord. It's because I love me. Cal.
So what I was most moved by in the sermon today was, you know, the reality of God keeping me here. And, you know, I thought about a man who led his family out of here because of his issues with authority, and how capable I am in my flesh of being that man. I thought of the man who left his family out of here with one of his issues being a love of money, capable of being that man, but humbled that God hasn't allowed that to happen. And that's just what was overwhelming to me, and kind of in spite of myself, I'm still here.
So I want us all to understand that it's by the grace of God that you're here. It's by the grace of God that you're saved, if you're saved, and that you are being kept. And the only reason Cal isn't gone isn't because he doesn't have the ability to love money or have issues with authority. It's because God has kept him. Kept him his, and kept him under authority and denying his love of money.
And then just realizing that, how humbling that all is, how I don't really know how to describe it other than humility and awe of how God works. And the reality of Jesus Christ being the only hope that there is. And it was just a very, just very, very, very humbling.
Sandy Reed.
I think one of the things that really got me, and we all heard it so many times, Matthew 16:18.
Can you be a little louder and a little more clear?
Matthew 16:18, when Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. What a beautiful promise. Because sometimes it seems like the gates of Hades are just opening and pouring out on us, and Christ promised that it could not prevail against it.
The gates of Hades will not prevail against God's church.
A beautiful promise.
Can seem like it, but that's who God is. If you're being kept, and I don't mean kept here, I mean kept in the Lord. If the Lord is keeping you, listen to some of the testimonies we're hearing around here. If that doesn't cause you to be humbled and overwhelmed by God's mercy, I think you're dead. Not as something you need to manufacture, not as something you get to do to try to prove it. If that doesn't humble you and overwhelm you, God's mercy, then I think you're spiritually dead. Mr. Yant.
Well, we talked about the word kept a little bit this week, and it can mean penned in, kept from escaping, and it also means kept from attacks from the outside. So it's a twofold. God protects us from ourselves, and he protects us from the enemy. Last night, we got together with the Fitzpatricks and also Kathy, but she left, and then later Tyler and Dara and Roy and Tammy came over to our house, and we had a meeting of sorts with the deacons and their wives discussing hospitality, and it was very meaningful. It was a very rich time of discussion, and it became more rich for me today, and especially just in this moment as Cal talked about what he just talked about, and I think about just the people that are now serving in a leadership position in this church, how they've been kept here. How many times Kathy Fitzpatrick wanted to leave this place?
Just two a day for years and years.
You know, and I'm maybe not as... I wouldn't express that as loudly and as openly as what she would, but there was a lot of times when I wanted to leave too. And I expect Tyler, and I expect Roy and Tammy, and
only twice.
Probably not Jen, but
a day for years and years.
But how God causes his people to persevere.
I've wanted to leave twice a day for years and years. What do I want to be here for? What a great God I serve. Mr. Prizer.
So I was just so affirmed, and my soul just flooded with such peace because we're witnessing God's plan unfold in the scripture, and his plan are one. And to witness it like that and read the scripture and just see how they coincide, God got this. And as far as I also have confessed before, and I will confess again, when God's truth began to bear weight on my life when I first came here, when I first started coming to men's Bible study on the invitation of Greg Clearman, and I had to rethink every single thing I thought I knew about God. And I wanted to flee. And the scripture, you know, the scripture says the wicked flee when no one is pursuing. And I just wanted to...
The righteous will stand bold as a lion.
And I wanted to...
But not because I'm as bold as a lion. Not because you are, because that's what God does in us.
And I just wanted to bolt out the door. And I would go home and I would search my script, my Bible, and I would try to find out what was wrong, what was making me feel like this. And it was my sin that was making me feel like that until I dealt with it. And what a great God. He's kept me here through that. And now, as I sit under the leading of the elders here, and
under the leading of Christ,
yeah, through the elders,
his church,
I'm just so sanctified and being built up daily, and I'm in such a different place than I was then, and God is the one who gets all the glory for that. I had nothing to do with it. Praise God for that.
Amen. Brenda.
One sentence that I've written down here that you said, the word of God is being lived out It's exactly the way God said it would. And it's been tough sometimes, but it's been oh so beautiful at the same time. It's, you know, you look at a situation, it was with Josh, it was with Cal, it was with Callie, where your heart just takes a dive, and then all of a sudden you realize this is God's plan. And if it wasn't that, our lives would be so deceived. We would be living. When I went back to Northwest Iowa, we'd be living lives that are just, I don't know, so shallow.
Purposeless.
Yeah. Even though this is hard, I'm so thankful. I'm Amen. So humbled.
Amen. Do something a little different just in this moment. I think there's some value in this. I'm going to read these statements, and I want you to say amen, but only if you can say amen. And when you say amen, amen means let it be so. I'm in agreement. So if you can agree with these statements, I would like you to say amen. If you can't, then don't. There is a church that is Christ's as he purchased it with his blood.
Amen.
The road is narrow that leads to everlasting life, and few find it. Two of the three soils that appear good are not. Christ will build his church. Christ will consummate his relationship with his bride. We will persevere as we are being preserved. God is wise, perfect, trustworthy, and praiseworthy. Look, if those can't be true for you, you're dead. Not true in knowledge like, yep, I agree, that's what the Bible says. True in that your life comes in alignment with these realities. Chuck.
I think that sometimes in seeking after holiness, I think we can get caught up in, and I've spoken to you about this on the way to Iowa City one day, the perfection that we somehow, I think there needs to be. And at times it gets to be a heavy laden, or it feels like a heavy laden. And the last song that we sang, I need to keep reminding myself, and maybe this is just an encouragement, that it's the deep, deep love of Jesus that we need, and that heavy burden that I sometimes feel is his deep, deep love for me. And as John said, he's refining us and perfecting us, and it can feel not very good sometimes, but it is only because of his deep, deep love for me that he is doing that. And I need to remind myself of that much, that that's from where that comes. So there wasn't a question in that, I don't believe, but
I didn't hear one. I asked the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of his salvation know and seek more earnestly his face. 'Twas he who taught me thus to pray, and he, I trust, has answered prayer, but has been in such a way as almost drove me to despair. I hope that in some favored hour at once he'd answer my request, and by his love's constraining power subdue my sins and give me rest. Instead of this, he made me feel the hidden evils of my heart and let the angry powers of hell assault my soul in every part. Yea, more with his own hand he seemed intent to aggravate my woe, crossed all the fair designs I schemed, humbled my heart and laid me low. Lord, why is this? I trembling cried. Wilt thou pursue thy worm to death? 'Tis in this way, the Lord replied, I answered prayer for grace and faith. These inward trials I employ from self and pride to set thee free and break thy schemes of earthly joy that thou mayst find thy all in me. Tammy, you want a perfect marriage? Find your all in Christ. And he's going to pursue his worm to death. That's what it's going to feel like until you get rid of the idolatry of your marriage and turn to your idolatry of Christ and Christ alone. Who else? Did you have your hand up? No. Tyler?
I went home and I kind of was thinking about the sermon and about testing faith and whether or not it's true saving faith, and I opened up William Gurnall, and it just so happened the next five pages were his tests for biblical saving faith, and they all were very similar to what we discussed in the sermon today, and just testing your conversion and, you know, whether or not you have a new creation. And
what kind of church would have people to test themselves to the point of people standing up that have called themselves Christians and claiming that? What kind of church would do that? What is happening in our church? It's not our church. This is the scriptures. This is what we're commanded to do, to overlay the scriptures against our lives and see who God is and who we are and repent and turn from our sin and trust in Christ and Christ alone. That's Christ's church. That's what he says.
He was coming to this section out of talking about Satan being the prince and the ruler of the power of this air, and that Satan uses people as his slaves to do his bidding, in the same way that, you know, a horseman uses the horse to take him where he wants to go, but when you take off it the rider, the horse now belongs to the one who, you know, slayed the rider, and how Satan is just driving people, and we aren't to shoot them, we're to attack him and to, you know, take him off the mount that Christ might have the rule. And so it was in this section that he was talking about, how then can you know if you're being driven by Satan or if you're being driven by Christ? And he gave, you know, wonderful tests that we talk about, you know, seeing what law you love to follow. Do you love to follow the law of Christ, or do you really love to follow the law of your flesh? And the last one, which had me very, very humbled as I considered my own life, He was using the analogy of, you know, the prince, and whether or not you're in Christ's kingdom or in Satan's. And he said, you know, the people that love Christ, they love him so much that they don't just desire to be with him in his castle enjoying his delicacies, but the ones who are the most faithful are the ones who are the farthest from the kingdom, pursuing to defend and to take more territory for Christ. Those are the most loyal vassals,
because the banquet's coming.
And he talked about, you know, testing yourself, and are you are you joining the battle for souls? And I was very, as I think about that, you know, where Dad talks about, you know, being kept, that is the last thing that I would want to do and desire to do is take the gospel forth. And the more I see God's hand just rebuking me and moving me in that direction, and I had to kill my flesh to go on Thursday, especially to be the guy going and pastor not right there. And it was wonderful. I mean, it was just an amazing day to consider that, and then to read that through and overlay that on my life was very humbled to recognize how poor of a servant and a vassal I am, and how great his power is that continues to work.
Amen.
One just last comment. I would encourage everyone to fast. You know, I am, if we write down the number of times we've all fasted in the room, I would be bringing up the rear for sure. But boy, every time I've had, God has just shown himself in humongous ways. And I fasted recently, and God just tore my flesh apart. And boy, I would encourage you all to fast and deny your flesh and seek who God is. And God's promises are true, and God will God will reveal himself in those times, and I would really encourage everyone to do that.
Anyone else? Okay. Praise and thanksgiving. Stephanie.